Yud Shavat, Friday the 30th of January, Rabbi Meir Zev Rappaport, Immortalizing Inspiration.
My father says from numerous times, said over, that he remembers that it was Parsha, what we call it, was called the New Jacob's Affair. In England. That was a historical episode, unfortunate episode, where my Zayda used to say over about the Chief Rabbi Brody. He used to say over about Chief Rabbi Brody, Yesh koinoi lomi b'shoa achas, that he has no doubt that when Chief Rabbi Brody goes to Shomayim, he will acquire his world b'shoa achas with that one episode, with that the fact that he stood strong against the reform, and he managed to keep Orthodox Jewry on the straight and narrow, and they shouldn't veer towards reform. Mazeda said about Chief Rabbi Brody, Yosh koino ilomu b'shoa achas. The Chaim Shmulevitz elaborates on this musag of Yesh koino ilomu b'shoa achas. In Parshas we read already, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aroi, Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael, ve'el Paroi Melech Mitzrayim lehoiti es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. So the Mefoshim shtel pshat in this posuk that Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron and he commands them el b'nei Yisrael ve'el paroi melech Mitzrayim. So what does it mean to b'nei Yisrael regarding ve'el paroi melech Mitzrayim lehoiti es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim? What is he telling Klal Yisrael about Yitzias Mitzrayim? It's paroi's business to let them out. The Poshup Pshat Rashi says that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron regarding Klal Yisrael. El doesn't mean to, but it means regarding Klal Yisrael. And regarding Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. So Hashem spoke to them regarding Klal Yisrael. That's how Rashi learns Pshat. The word El means regarding. However, Medrash, Rashi brings Medroshai, Pshat in the Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe and Aaron that he should lead Klal Yisrael and he should speak to them, and his approach to Klal Yisrael should be in a mild and patient manner. And regarding Paroi Melech Mitzrayim, he should speak to Paroi respectfully. Soif kol soif, Paroi was a king, Paroi was a leader. He should speak to him respectfully. As I state in Rashi, Rashi brings Midrash. Oben Yerushalmi says, interesting chat, that what does it mean, El B'nei Yisrael? Ve'el paroi melech Mitzrayim lehoiti es b'nei Yisrael melech Mitzrayim. Yerushalmi brings down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with Klal Yisrael on the day they left Mitzrayim. On the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with Klal Yisrael that what? That they should keep the mitzvah of Shiluach Havodim. That when they have servants, they should make sure to free them at the right time. When they're meant to free them, they should free them. Kol yomer Hashem Elokei Yisrael, state the pasuk in Yirmiyo. Anoichi korati brises aviseichem, I struck a covenant with your forefathers. V'yoyim oitzi oisam eretz Mitzrayim, on the day I took them out of Mitzrayim, mi beis avodim leimor, mi keitz shev ashonim, tishlechu ish es echova ivri. This was a time when Klal Yisrael were not freeing their slaves, they weren't freeing their servants. And Yirmiyo Anovi said over, in the name of the Rebbeinu Shloilom, that Klal Yisrael shouldn't forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck a covenant with them on the day they went out of Mitzrayim to free their servants, to free their slaves. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu found time, the only time, to discuss freeing their avodim on the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Couldn't he have found a more opportune moment, a better time? I suspect that Klal Yisrael was slightly rushed when on the day they left out of Mitzrayim. They had to pack their houses. They had to collect all their property, all their household goods, pack them away, put all their furniture away, all their clothes. 210 years of clothes, and it wasn't so easy. Even the matzah, even the challah never had time to rise. It ended up being matzah. They were rushed. They wouldn't have had the presence of mind to be able to internalize the concept of sending away servants on that day when a person's rushed. My father always says the anecdote that when he married off his first daughter, my older sister, So he was in Yerushalayim. So he was standing under the chuppah. And he's standing under the chuppah, and a meshulach grabbed hold of my father's kapota, and he steps in, he says, Zogt mir, se gut zu gehen machen Geld in Johannesburg? Came from Johannesburg. Is it good to go make money in Johannesburg? This is just under the chuppah. No, a person has to have a presence of mind, even in such circumstances, one must speak pleasantly to every person, even a meshulach. A person who's in trouble, a person who needs an eitz, needs a toiva, one has to help him out even when one is pressurized. There's no excuses. There's no excuses. Pressure isn't an excuse. Sorry. I have no doubt, but I'm sure he spoke to him nicely. I'm sure he spoke to him nicely. Now, let's think about it. What are we talking about? Freeing servants. We're talking about 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the desert. Another 7 years of kibush, Eretz Yisrael. And another 7 years of Chanukah. Only then would they even be able to even acquire a servant. They only started in when? 40, 7 and 7 years? 54. And then another 6 years, right? Till you free the servant. 7 years, Miketz Shevashon. We're talking about, this is by Yovel. We're talking about at least 50, 60 years until it would even be practical with Shaila. Why discuss a Shaila which is not relevant for another 60 years? Takapella. I say that's a question Reb Chaim Shmulevitz poses. I once heard, the first time I heard it was from my Rebbe in Geitzer, Rebbe Zriel Rosenbaum. Zoro sein gesunden Stark. Steht im Posuk, in Shir Hashirim, im To'iru, im To'iru, es ha'avu ad she'techpots. Posuk in Shir Hashirim. The Mephoshim give various explanations to this Posuk. One of the pshatim, the Mephoshim give him, To'iru, im To'iru, es ha'avu. Don't, if you dare, disturb or awaken the love while it still gratifies. Das heißt, as long as a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, why ruin things when the going is good? Don't disturb it. Im toiru, im toiru. Don't disturb. Don't shake the love. Ad shetechpots kol zman, it's still chayfet, kol zman the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's while it's still gratifying, the Rabbeinu Shalom loves us. While we love the Rabbeinu Shalom, let's not disturb the equilibrium here. That's one pshat. Another pshat, ashtikel asatmer pshat, im toiru, im toiru, so ad shetechpots, the meforshim explain pshat, the gdoila meforshim explain pshat, that we shouldn't arouse the love of the Rabbeinu Shalom to end the golus, to end the exile, prematurely. Ad shetechpots. But only when it pleases the Rabbeinu Shalom. Im toiru, im toiru, sa'avo. Don't arouse the love of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Don't force the geula prior to its allotted time. Ad shetechpots, until the Rabbeinu Shalom, until it pleases the Rabbeinu Shalom. However, Yodua, the Ramban, who says, Amusa di kevot, Amusa di keprat, in this pasuk, im toiru, im toiru, sa'avat, shetechpots. Im toiru, im toiru, says the Ramban. If a person has an isoirus, if a person has an awakening, he has a moment of inspiration, at shetechpots, he shouldn't let that fleeting moment of inspiration dissipate and disappear. But at shetechpots, he should place this inspiration into a chayfet, into an object. He should immortalize that fleeting moment of inspiration. So that it will last, that it should have a kiyum. Otherwise it will dissipate and disappear into thin air. I remember Rabbi Zriel said over pshat b'shem Rabbi Shlomo Baumgarten, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, Rav of 69, the famous Hungarian Moyel. He said pshat in this week's parsha, Zeh Keli Van Veyu, that when Klal Yisrael saw the Rabbeinu Shlomo, they said, Zeh Keli, this is our Rabbeinu Shlomo, Ve'anvei, we will glorify him. And in Talgum state pshat, how does the Talgum, the translation, translate the posuk? Ve'evne le magdisho. I will build for him a sanctuary. Dosais miloshen, ve'anvei is nove. Nove is a sanctuary, is a beis hamikdosh. Dosais, zekeid ve'anvei, chazal darshan yisnoa, the fun of the mitzvahs. I say the fun of Sefer Torah no, Esukah no. What did Klal Yisrael say? Zekei van Veyu? When they saw the Rebbeinu Shem, we will build for him a Beis HaMikdosh. Pshat is, said Reb Shlomo Boimgarten, that when Klal Yisrael saw the revelation, and when Vishishtei, that Ruas or Shivcho Alayom Ashloiro Chiski or Bimbuzi, that the lowliest maidservant saw on Yamsuf revelations greater than the greatest Nevi'im. They had a gewaldike Yisoyrus, they had a gewaldike inspiration. But they didn't want that inspiration to dissipate, because it was only momentary, it was a not long-lasting revelation. They didn't want it to dissipate and disappear. Umemele, they were mekabel on themselves, after techpots, they implanted inspiration in an object, they were mekabel on themselves to build a base of Magdash, ve'evne de Magdashah. They immortalized that fleeting moment of inspiration so it should last, be an everlasting inspiration, it should always be there, shouldn't dissipate. Zogt Chaim Shmulevitz, that on the day Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, was the opportune moment to immortalize this lesson of Shiluach Avodim. When Klal Yisrael went me'avdus l'cheirus, when they went from slavery into freedom, u'me'yogon l'simcha, from grief to joy, u'me'eva l'yomtov, u'me'afeil l'oira, to great light, one can imagine, from tzolev over l'revocha, the distress that they had been in for so many hundreds of years, they, their children, the reinekach, the ureinekach, the shisha b'kerasecha, the great nation, that were in such distress, and the relief, the revocho, that they felt at that moment, the shibu that they'd felt beforehand, the servitude that they were under, and the geula, the redemption, one can imagine the gewaldike sense of relief, what it means to be freed, what it means for a slave to be freed, after so many hundreds of years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that moment of inspiration to disappear, to dissipate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to immortalize that fleeting moment of inspiration. There was no greater moment to be Kodesh Brit, to strike a covenant with Klal Yisrael than this moment of inspiration. While the iron is hot, I think that's what you say, that's when you should strike. So that's when we felt it, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to immortalize that fleeting moment of inspiration. Yisroi heard, Ma shmu Hashem aruvo, Kriyas Yamsuf, Umelchem Samolek, Vayichad Yisroi, Nase Besorich, Chidudin, Chidudin. The truth is not just Yisroi heard, the whole world heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek. Oz Nivhalu Alufei Edoim, not only Yisroi had an inspiration, not only was Yisroi inspired, the whole world was inspired by Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek. Oz Nivhalu Alufei Edoim, the chieftains of Edoim were confounded. Eilei Moyev, we said this morning, Eilei Moyev Yuchazei Moyroad, trembling, gripped the powers of Moyov. Nomoigu kol yoshve Kenoan, the dwellers of Kenoan dissolved. They all had the gewaldike inspiration, but they didn't immortalize it. Yisroi, vayishma Yisroi. Yisroi was no different, but he did something about it. He realized that if he doesn't immortalize that fleeting moment of inspiration, then it'll just dissipate and disappear, and nothing will be left of it. I remember when Rabbi Leib Shteyman came for the day, I think he was here for one day, and Dainan Troy spoke, and Dainan Troy said over the Maisa in the Gemara of Hanani ben Chachinoi, and he used the same message. And the Maisa said over, the Gemara says over that Hanani ben Chachinoi went to yeshiva, to learn in yeshiva, towards the end of the Sheva Brochus of Reb Shimon ben Yochai. And Reb Shimon Yochai was in the middle of Sheva Brochus. So Reb Shimon, it was towards the end of the Sheva Brochus. So Reb Shimon Yochai said to Reb Hananiah, to Atoiva, why should you go now and travel by yourself, and I'll go now and travel by myself? Wait a couple of days till the end of my Sheva Brochus, and we'll go travel together. We'll be able to learn Chavrusa on the trip. Instead of wasting futile time on the aeroplane, one can learn Chavrusa. But he said, no, I'm going. He didn't wait. And he went. And he went away. He went away for 12 years and he came back to town. And the streets of the town had changed. So he lost his, he didn't know where to find his house anymore. So he went to the riverbanks. And he overheard One girl telling the other one, Bas Hachinoi, Bas Hachinoi. Fill up your jug and let's go home. So he thought, oh, evidently, obviously, this young maiden, she must be my daughter. Bas Hachinoi. She was called after the Zayda, Mistama, because the Zayda brought her up, because the father had gone and disappeared and gone, wasted his life away in yeshiva. So the Nebuchadnezzar had to look after the granddaughter. And he came back after 12 years, and he decided he'll follow her, because if he follows Bas Hachinoi, he'll make his way home. He didn't know where his house was. Showing his wife, says the Gemara, was sieving flour, and she lifted up her eyes, she suddenly saw him. She was so shocked that her spirit departed, and she was nifta, she died. Very sad story. So Reb Chanani ben Chacheloi turns to the Rabbi Nishloim and says, Rabbi Nishloim, the master of the universe, this is the reward for this poor soul who was waiting all these years while her husband was learning Torah. She was Moise Nefesh, Zu Torah, Zu Schorah. And he entreated the Rabbi Nishloim, and the Rabbi Nishloim had mercy. And lo and behold, she came back to life. She lived again. This was the koyach of Reb Chanani ben Chacheloi. Why does the Gemara, when the Gemara brings this story, brings the Akdama to the story? When the Gemara brings the story, it brings the Akdama that Reb Chanani ben Chacheloi went to Yeshiva towards the end of the Shev Brachos of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, and Reb Shimon ben Yochai told him to wait, and he didn't wait. And then the Gemara says the story. What's the point of mentioning the Akdama together with the story? Because the koyach, the power of Reb Chanani ben Chacheloi to be able to be Mechayei Meitim was built on the fact that when he had a moment of inspiration, he didn't wait 2 days, but he immortalized that fleeting moment of inspiration immediately, and he says, I'm not waiting. I'm going. If I've got an opportunity to go, I'm going. This is the message of Im to'iru, Im to'iru, so'ava achatechbots. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that's pshat also, yesh koino ilomi bisho achas. A person can acquire a whole world, his world, oilomoi, his whole oilom hazeh, his whole oilom habah, he can acquire bishor achas in one moment. If only he would immortalize that moment of inspiration and not let it dissipate. So says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. There is, like to move on a little bit, that's pshat in posuk zekei levan veyo, this week's parasha. Another pasuk in this week's parasha. Move on to a different topic. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimor. Daber el bnei Yisrael veyoshuvu veyachanu lifnei piachiros. Bein migdoil uven ayom lifnei baal tzafoy nichoy sachanu al yom. Rabbi Yisrael tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael they should make a U-turn. This was a legal U-turn. They should make a U-turn and they should start traveling towards the Mitzriim. The Chapele. Doesn't make sense. Shteit in Posuk that Vayasu came. And they did so. Zogt Rashi, what's Prat Vayasu came? Quotes Michuta. What is the Ribui? What is the Torah telling us that they did so? Vayasu came. Zogt Rashi, Lehagit Shivchon. This comes to tell me Shivchon Shvach praise about Klal Yisrael. Sheshomu lekol Moshe. They listened to Moshe's instructions. Veloy Omro, they didn't say to themselves, we must be Meshuga to go and travel towards those who want to kill us, towards our enemy. We need to run away. Elo Amru, they said, Ein lanu elo divrei ben Amram. No, we only have the words of Ben Amram. As I state in Rashi quotes the Mechilta. Lechaira, there is two questions one could pose on this Rashi. Number one, there is a Yitur in Rashi. Rashi Lechaira is writes words of the Mechilta, which are superfluous. Rashi said everything in the first half of the Rashi. Lehagit Shivchon. The words Vayasu Kain tells us the Shvach of Klal Yisrael. Sheshomu lekol Moshe, they listened to the voice of Moshe. Veloy Omru, they didn't say, Oich Niskari Verorzpenu, how can we go travel towards our enemy? On a Tzuchim Nivroach, we should run away. Rashi should have stopped there. The words Elo Omru, only they said, Eilonu Elo Divre Ben Amram. We only have the words of Ben Amram, but Lechori totally superfluous. There's nothing being added with the words Elo Omru, Ein Lono Elo Divrei Ben Amram. It's enough that they didn't, that they heard what Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, and they didn't say, how can we travel towards our enemy? We need to run away.
Finished.
What do I have to say? But we only have the words of Ben Amram. Second Ahura, the word Ben Amram. Where do we find it? Vayas Kolev, when Kolev was trying to get the attention, attract the attention of Klal Yisrael when they were murmuring and complaining with the Parsha of the Meraglim. So Vayas Kolev, what did you Kolev do? Kolev came up with a good patent. He decided that he'll pretend that he's speaking derogatory against Moshe Rabbeinu. And obviously everybody will listen because they all want to hear negative about Moshe Rabbeinu. They'll be quiet and then he'll start speaking pro-Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Rashi that he said, V'chizu bilvad o salonu ben Amram. Ben Amram is a derogatory term. Since when do you call somebody Ben Amram? Call somebody Ben Amram. Call Moshe Rabbeinu Ben Amram. Einonu elo divri Ben Amram. Einonu divri Moshe Rabbeinu. What is Ben Amram? Punkt now, they listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they're calling him in a derogatory way. What's the pshat in Rashi? No boss. Common sense. Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and tells us something that's totally irrational. Totally does not make sense. Against conventional wisdom. It's suicide. To go and turn around and go towards the Mitzrayim is suicide. So Klal Yisrael in a dilemma. Do they need to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu? And Meiliv tells us to keep Shabbos, do this, do that, don't do this, don't eat the veil, all sorts of things. Yeah, okay, fine. But if he goes and tells us to commit suicide, that's I'm a sugar. It's absolutely, Moshe Rabbeinu's gone insane. We have to listen to him. B'chlau. So they looked for a precedent. Where do they find a precedent that one listens to a Novi, that one listens to Moshe Rabbeinu, that one listens to the Das Torah, even if one doesn't understand it, even if it's against common sense, even if conventional wisdom dictates otherwise? Shteit in posuk vayelech ishmi beis Levi. Vayikach esh bas Levi. Amram remarried Yocheved. Why? She was 130 years old. She couldn't have children, says the Gemara. She wasn't able to have children already. Says the Gemara that when he did remarry her, Gevaldik Kenes happened. She became younger, Nisadei Naboso, she grew younger, and Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Under whose instructions did Amram remarry? Amram was the god Lador himself. And when he divorced his wife, all of Klal Yisrael divorced his wife. But even Amram had a Das Torah. Who was Amram's Das Torah? Miriam HaNevi'o was Amram's Das Torah. Amram had the Das Torah, Miriam HaNevi'o. And Miriam said to him, Gzeiros Chokosha Mishal Paroi, your Gzeir is worse than Paroi. And Amram should have said to Miriam, Bis Meshuga Gevorim? My Taira Tochter, my dear daughter, I should listen to you. You're telling me to get married when mother's 130 years old, when she can't even have children. Was redst denn Narrigkeiten, Stuss in Vahavolim? It's not Shayach. It doesn't make sense. Conventional wisdom dictates that it doesn't make sense. No, Miriam a Nevi'o was a Nevi'o. And Amram hat gut verstanden, was meint das Torah, that a person has to listen even if it doesn't make sense. And this was the precedent. This was the precedent which Klal Yisrael found. Who was the precedent? The precedent was Ben Amram. The precedent was the fact that Amram listened to Miriam. And through that they had Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's Einonu Elo Divre Ben Amram. The ganze Ben Amram is only because Amram listened to Miriam. So too we should listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Afilu al Shmuel Shu Yamin, v'al Yamin Shu Shmuel, meitus kipshuta, a person doesn't understand it, he has to be mekabelit. I heard, he said it over many times, Avraham Gurwitz always says over, from the Goyim, pshatun posuk in Mishli, shteitun posuk kesem al sifsei melech, Lo'oilom lo'yim al piv. Kesem al sifsei melech translates kesem. There is ksomim is miloshen a wonder, miloshen a moifes. Ksomim biodom, magic on the lips of a king. Lo'oilom lo'yim al piv. His mouth will never stumble. Zok the gon pshat. What does mean? What's pshat in this pasuk? Says the gon man malchei. Who are Amalochim? Man Malchei say Chazal Rabbonon. Kesem al Sif say Melech. The Rabbonon have ksomim. They have wonders. Lo oilom lo yim al piv. Their mouths never stumble, says the Gaon Pshat. And the Gaon explains that people say, nah, the Baron Leib was only told one side of the picture. He didn't hear the other side of the picture. Yenerov, Yener Tzadik, Yener Godel, this great person, he hasn't got the whole picture. He doesn't know all the details. They've tried to get under the table and tell him. Kesem al sifsei melech zokte vilagon. Man malchi rabbonon. Lo oilom lo yim al pivi. As a gewaldike siyata dishmaya. A tzaddik. A melech. Man malchi rabbonon. The great people in the world. Those who are great. Have magic on their lips. Lo oilom lo yim al pivi. Their mouths never stumble. Why? Because they have siyata dishmaya from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And their words, what they say and what they do, is directed by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Biskarov, he was a young man when he was the Rav of Brisk, and it was Rosh Hashanah, 23 years old. It was Rosh Hashanah, and he was davening Shacharis, and he was davening Shemanesra, and the government authorities came in that there was a Yid who'd been sentenced to death, and they needed the rabbi to do the last rites. They wanted a Jewish rabbi to do the last rites. So they came over to the Biskarov while he was doing Shemoneh Esrei, and they explained to him that it's the government authorities are coming, they're sending a death sentence, it's his last rites, he needs a rabbi to go. And he ignored them and he carried on davening Shemoneh Esrei. Om nishtam gedavening Shemoneh Esrei. He davened a long Shemoneh Esrei, and he continued davening. And this went on and on. And so they suggested maybe somebody else should go. They said, no, it's got to be the official rabbi of the community who needs to do the last rites. So he decided not to go. And the Kehillah, this was a new, fresh, young Rav, the Kehillah had omgat tainus of him. That he's endangering the whole Kehillah here, this young Kanoi rabbi. And he wouldn't agree to go. And he continued davening, he continued davening Musaf. And for Sheitzach, the government officials who were there were going crazy. Finally, in the end, they decided that they sent another old man under the pretext that he was the rabbi. And he did the last rites, and the Yid was Nebuch put to death. After davening on Rosh Hashanah, officials came on Achves, wagon, however it was, they came from a different town, and they said there's been a mistake, he shouldn't have been killed. And he was killed unnecessarily, he shouldn't have been sentenced to death, there's been a mistake in the verdict. This was the Maisel of the Biskarov, and the Biskarov, it was seen the Gevaldika Siyat Dishmaya that the Biskarov Kesam al Sifsei Melech Lo'olam Lo Yimalpiv. Finish off, just to be politically correct. Amaisim the Chidush Harim. The Chidush Harim was on a horse wagon together with his Meshamash Rabunim. And they were traveling from Varsha to Ger. I think I've got the Maisa correct. I hope I get it Maisa correct. And they were traveling on wagon. And Rabunim noticed that there was somebody running behind the wagon. The fellow was running behind the wagon, so Rabunim slowed the wagon down so the fellow could catch up. He obviously realized that he wants to speak to the Chidush Harim, this fellow. This fellow was running, panting, and he was sweating. And the Chidush Harim says to Rabunim, "What are you going slower for? Schneller, go faster. Press on the gas." And so he didn't know what to do. The Rebbe haste, Mitzacheni Nebel, there's a Psepseyid who's running like Meshuggah trying to catch up. And he said to him, "But the Yid is trying to catch up." He said, "Schneller," he ignored him, pretend he didn't hear at all. And he told him, "Go faster." The wagon is going faster. And Nebel, this Yid is running afterwards. He's not letting go, this Yid. And he's running and running, trying to catch up the wagon. Rabunim sees him behind and he says, "Rebbe." And he says to him, "Go faster. What are you going so slow for?" And he makes him go faster and faster and faster. And Nebel, this fellow was falling to the ground. He was already getting scratched and he'd get bleeding and he was getting up and he was continuing to run. And Rabunim said to him, "Rebbe, Nebel, Chafayid." And the Chidush Harim said to Rabunim, he says, "You have more Rachmanus Avidin v'Ichob. You think you have more Rachmanus Avidin than I have? Ichob oich Rachmanus Avidin." And Vosig Hashem, what was it? It was Nishkan Lebedik Yid. It was a Toiti Yid, the Chidush Harim. He couldn't understand his Rebbe. The Rebbe's Gavon, Arosha, and Achza. It was a person who needed a tikkun. And this neshama was running after the Chiddush Arim, and the Chiddush Arim had good verstanden what he was doing. He was saving this man's soul. Because Kesem al Sifsei Melech Olim Nayim al Piv, they know and understand better than us. Those who are above us understand better than us. Why? We don't have the information. They have the information. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be Zoyche to call to.